Well, 10:32 is where we are. 10:32, we got some wonderful, wonderful words. Good words in here tonight. Dakota, would you go out there and beat those kids up? Take a knife with you, or a gun, one or the other. Tell them to slow down a little bit. Okay? Get your Paul blood stirred up, Dakota. Ana memneskeste. Ana memneskeste. That's a hard word, isn't it? Yeah. De, tas, proteron, himas, in, heis, potisthentes, palain, aleison. No, I looked at it incorrectly. Athleison. Hypemenate. Athemopton. There are beautiful words in this verse here. Let's look at them. And let's look at it in the Amplified Bible, too, in a few moments. Call upon your own memory. That's what it says there, that Anna memneskeste. Second person plural, present imperative, middle voice. Call upon your own memory and remind yourselves. All right, and it starts out with the weak adversity conjunction particle, they. And call upon your own memory and remind yourselves the former days. All right. In which is, having been enlightened by much, athleison, struggle. That our word athlete comes from that word right there. Athlete. All right, athleison. Ye endured. Ye remained under the strain. Second person plural, first aorist, indicative, active, from hypo and meno. It's like spiritual isometric. You know what isometrics are? That's where you push against something, you don't ever move it. You just push real hard and just hold the strain, remaining under the strain, and pop in my tone. We got our word pathetic from this word right here. Sufferings. Sympathy, well, pathos, it means to feel suffering. All right. Now, Brother Randall, are you over there in the Amplified Bible? I wish I could get you to read some of this, Dakota. I think you're like Buck and Bill. Don't want to talk. And the way I was. I wanted the Amplified Bible here. Marilyn, I'm going to give you the Amplified Bible, and I'll have you read one, too. Okay? Here, man. I think you've got to open this right place. That's a better translation than the other Episcopalian Bible. All right?
But be ever mindful of the days gone by in which, after you were first spiritually enlightened, you endured a great and painful struggle.
All right. Remember these things. Remember what happened back then. All right. This one up here, this Anna Menesco. All right. That's what that word's from. Second person plural, present imperative, middle. It says, call upon your own memory and remind yourselves. Okay? The word memorial service. We have a memorial service for someone. That means to remember them. Okay? And then proteron, the former days, in witches. That word which, that is plural. That word haste there, that's witches plural. Locative plural. Having been enlightened. All right? Nominative plural masculine. First aorist participle passive. How do we get enlightened? The enlightening comes from someone else. It doesn't come from our dark souls, does it? It comes from the light. All right? The light. The light of God. All right. And by much struggle, athleison. I said, like I said, now, by the way, this word here, athlesin, is used three times in the New Testament. All right, that's all. And one time in this form, that's all. One time in this form. And then ye endured, second person plural, first aorist indicative active. Sufferings. 10:33 now. 10:33. Let's look at that one. 10 and verse 33. Tuto. Men. Anedesmois. Mois. Te. Kai. Sleepsens. Theatrisomenoi. Tuto. Day, koinioi, tone, hutos, anastrephomenon, genethetes. All right, we've got some good words here too. By the way, the last verse, 10 verse 32, I forgot to tell you this. The cross-reference to that is 2 Corinthians 7:15, Judges 6, and 8, and 4 and 5, and 13 and 16, and 11 and 12, and 14 and verse 6, 1 Samuel 16, 1 and 13, 1 and 20, and 17, 34. 2 Timothy 2, 5, for that little word there, athlesin. And that's about it, I guess. Now this one here, 10 verse 33, 1 Corinthians 4, 9, Judges chapter 4 through 7. 11 through 14 and 14 and verse 6. 2 Samuel 15 or 5, 17 through 20, 8, 11 through 15, and 10 and 12 and 7 and 1, and then 1 Samuel 12 and verse 4. Daniel 6, 22. 2 Corinthians 1 and 12. Luke 5 and verse 10. Romans 5, 15 and 13. All right, now let's go back and look at it. Indeed, this reproaches, insults, reviles, degradation, censor, defamation, disgrace, to defame, calumniary, reproach. That's all in this word. It means to interrogate harshly, to castigate. Exprobatio in Latin, malign. That's quite a word. Onedesmois, abuse. To be dismal and rude to. Page 289, if you want to put down the page number, it's on. Ome desmois. Desmois. It covers a lot. Okay? It means to indict, it means to reprove, it means to accuse. From accusare in Latin, to harshly torture, to castigate, exprobatio in Latin, another word. It means to malign, it means to defame, and another Latin word is calumniare, and maledicto, a maledictio, maledictum. These are all terms here. This means to reproach, to insult, to revile, to degrade, to censor, to defame, to disgrace. That's a strong word right there. You know, the most terrible thing you can do to a man is to destroy his character. You don't get anything out of it. And he may lose it all. May lose his name. It's a terrible thing. What was the penalty for defamation of character in the Old Testament? Death. Death. You might as well murder him. All right. Reproaches, blames, degrade, both, and tribulation. Thalipsis. Thalipsis. That's a hard word to say there. Thalips. Thalipsis. All right. Tribulation. That means under great pressure. That means to hold onto the thumb. That means to keep somebody down all the time, to hold your foot on them constantly, to have your foot on their neck all the time. Now we have the word thea, theatrizomenoi, present participle passive, nominative plural masculine, and this means to expose, to make a gazing stock, to bring upon the stage, put a lot of lights on you, and then to incriminate you. Make a gazing stock. All right? It means to... We got our word theater from this. Theater. That's what word comes from. Theater. And then tuto, day, koinon, koinonoi. That word means to be partakers, to be common, to mean profane also. All right? Of the ones in like manner are thusly anastro phomenon, living daily as a habit, walking to and fro, up and down, back and forth. But I remember my grandfather. Now, he didn't talk much, but every now and then I was left alone at home with him. My grandmother would go to work a lot of times and leave me home with him. And he was very sick when he was old, and he talked to me every now and then and tell me things. He talked to me about knowing Geronimo. Geronimo, the great Apache warrior. He said they caged him up like a wild animal, and he said that he was, even when he was in this cage, that he was a strong man. Even when he was old, that he was strong. That he would take and he would run all day long, all around his cell, just run and run and run and run. And he said that when he was back there in Fort Sill, Oklahoma, that he would go see him and talk to him. They'd let him out sometimes. But when they have him caged up in that cell, he would run around and around and around. And he told me that he had wore the floor out in this cement floor, and there was a pathway this deep where he had run. Back and forth and around and around and around there. Well, I went back there probably in the 1970s, I believe it was, and I went to Geronimo's cell in Fort Sill, Oklahoma, and guess what I saw? I saw that pathway in the concrete that he had run in the ground, running around, keeping himself in shape all the time. When he died, he talked to, I believe it was his nephew, and he said, "I wish I had never given up. I wish I'd have fought till I was gone." Well, this word anastrephomenon, it means to walk to and fro. It means to walk back and forth and be in constant motion. As we have our, as we display ourselves in this world, as we display ourselves, what kind of character do you have? That's what it's talking about. The character that you have. And then it says, Genethentes, having become, nominative plural masculine, first aorist, participle, and passive. Actually, the better translation of this is having been made to become. Having been made to become, because it's passive voice. All right? 10 and verse 34, and that's a longer verse now. It's two pages. Now, during this period of time in history, many Christians were maltreated. They were abused terribly. They had everything that they had taken from them. Everything that they had taken from them. I was talking to Troy Clemens in Mississippi yesterday. His wife is Oneida Indian. And he said they were from Mississippi. And she said, "No, we weren't from Mississippi, or not Mississippi." She said they were from Minnesota and Wisconsin, but she said, "We weren't from there." He said, "Well, where did you come from?" She said, "Up around New York." "Oh, you migrated." She said, "No, we weren't migrating. We didn't migrate. We were pushed like cattle. Pushed out of our homelands. Pushed like cattle." Well, Christians at this time were treated as common thugs, as outlaws. They were treated as outlaws and common thugs. Now, let's look and see what it says here. Kai, gar, tois, des, miois, sine, pa, te, sate. Kai, tain, harpagain. Tone, he, par, con, tone. Himon, meta, karas, prosedexaste, genoskontes, ekain, itos, kretona. Hipparxen. Kai. Manusen. And there are some more real good words in this verse. All right. To be maltreated. To be abused. Remember what we did when we read that one word a while ago? That word, one desmois. All right. That means to be insulted, reviled, degraded. It means to be castigated. Exprobatio, it means to be maligned. Maledictum, treated as a malefactor, as a criminal. Well, here it goes on, just on and on. And, or indeed, for in the bonds, in the shackles, in the leg irons. All right? In the leg irons, Ephesians 3 and 11, 2 Timothy 1 and 8. Paul was in leg irons. He was shackled in a prison. And what was he shackled in a prison for? Killing somebody? What was he shackled for? For preaching the gospel. That's all. Preaching the gospel. Ephesians 3 and 11 and 2 Timothy 1 and 8. Let's look at those two verses real quickly anyway. If someone's got... Ephesians 3 and verse 11 and 2 Timothy 1 and 8.
This is in accordance with the terms of the eternal and timeless purpose which he has realized and carried into effect in the person of Christ Jesus our Lord.
Maybe I did it wrong. How about 2 Timothy 1 and 8? That was a good one. That's God's eternal purpose. All right? That's what I teach that chart off of, Ephesians 3 and 11. And 2 and 2. 2 Timothy 1 and 8. Did I get this one right?
2 Timothy 1 and 8. Well, this is the Amplified.
Yeah, okay, that's good.
Do not blush or be ashamed then to testify to and for our Lord, nor of me, a prisoner for his sake, but with me take your share of the suffering to which the preaching of the gospel may expose you, and do it in the power of God.
All right. Well, at least I got 50% of them right. I did. That's a good verse over there in Ephesians 3 and 11. Maybe it was something else that I wanted. But Paul talked about his imprisonment, his bonds, his being shackled for the cause of Christ. The word bonds there, shackles, leg irons. All right. Accusative plural. And ye suffered together. The English word here is sympathetic. It means here, it says second person plural, first aorist, indicative active, ye suffered together. And the harpagein. Harpagein. You know that one of the words for rapture is harpazo, and it means to snatch up. If this word is quite a word here. It means to be plundered. It means to be a spoil of war. It means to seize with great force. All right? We get our word raptor from this also. Raptor, what does a raptor do? A raptor runs down and grabs a hold of something. I'll never forget when I was a young boy up in Fish Lake Valley. We had a long way to ride. We rode all the way from the Snow Goose Ranch to the Dyer School. And it was about 20-something miles. And I would sit there and look out the windows and watch the countryside. I just loved the smell of the sage up there. And boy, it was beautiful country. High desert, just beautiful country. But there, on the way to school every day, there was a pair of golden eagles. And those things stood about that tall. They were large, large birds. And I saw one of them circling up one day. And I saw it fall down just like a bullet toward the ground. And it grabbed a rabbit. And it seized that rabbit with its talons. And it carried it up in the air, and that rabbit was just screaming its little old head off. This scream, high-pitched scream. All the time it was grabbing, taking it way up in the air, and then it dropped it. And the little thing just screamed all the way to the ground and died. But that's the word right there. You were snatched up like the talons of the raptor. Seized with great force. All right? It means to plunder. It means to be taken as a spoil of war. Everything that you have, every possession that you have has been nullified. Every possession that you have has been nullified. You own nothing. You own nothing. Many of the early Christian people lost everything they had. My great-grandmother, Hattie Jane Paul was her real name. She was taken from her father. Her mother hit her with her sister and raised her. When she got old enough, when she got married, they were Chickasaw Indians. Her mother was some kind of Indian too, but I don't know what kind she was. But she wanted to go get her allotment. She had 160 acres coming and some money because she was Sam Paul's daughter. And she told her husband, she said, she wanted to get her allotment. And he said, no. He said, if we act like white people, whatever we earn, we'll get to keep it. He said, if they know that we're Indians, that we will be at their whim. We may have something for a while, we go out, we work hard, we build everything we have up, and then the next day it's seized from us and we lose it just because we're Indians. Don't tell anybody you're Indians. That's what he said. Don't tell anybody you're Indians. You know, there was a time in church history where the Christians had to hide out. They couldn't even tell anyone that they were Christians. They had to hide out. They hid out in caves. Why, the Waldenses hid out for hundreds of years up there in the valleys of the Waldenses, the valleys is what they called it, the Pyrenees valleys. The Piedmont, valleys of the Piedmont. They hid out there for hundreds of years. And a Catholic was in the Inquisition. You know what the Inquisition is? That's some of the words that were used here. The word plundered, this means be under the Inquisition. Okay, that's what the word means here. That means to plunder, to snatch away. It means the Inquisition. They would take those people in, they would torture them. But back in the valleys of the Piedmont, these Christians back there, they were Anabaptists. Every now and then they'd come out and go get something from town. They would go. They would sneak in and sneak out of those valleys. Well, they didn't even know they lived there. They were quiet up there. They didn't bother anything. They had their animals. They built homes. And they sheltered their animals in the bottom part of the houses. They watched them as they went out on the hills. They had to be completely secretive of their lives. Well, one time, they wore a certain kind of clothing. They were different than all others. And one man came into town. And this inquisitor followed him back into the valley and found the trail back home. And the Catholic Church went in there and murdered every one of those people. The ones that were in caves, hiding in caves, they built fires and put firewood in front of the caves and set it on fire and literally burned them to death. The ones that they could catch, they put them out there, they staked them out, they tied four horses to them and pulled them apart. That's what you call drawn and quartered. They pulled them in four parts. They ate the women. They skinned them alive. And if you read the churches, the history of the churches of the valleys of the Piedmont, you will find the very names of the people that were tortured and brutalized. And harpage. Everything that they had was taken. Harpage, tone, hiparkon, tone. All right? Genitive, plural, neuter, present, participle, active. That word, hiparkon, tone, it comes from hipo and arco. It means everything that you own, every tangible possession that you have is seized. Every tangible possession that you have is seized. Every tangible possession seized and taken control of. Two people were doing this to the early Christians. Two groups, the Roman church, the Roman government, and the Jews and the Roman government. They were plundering. What in the world was Paul going over to Damascus for? Do you remember? Going to kill Christians. He was going to seize everything they had and take their very lives. Seize everything they had and take their lives. Seize it and take it all. You know, there's been different groups of peoples in this country, in this country also, and in different parts of the world that have been maltreated horribly. We call it what we call ethnic cleansing now. We talk about genocide. Well, the early Christians were plundered, and genocide was committed upon them. And then it says, being dispossessed of everything that you have, with joy. Look at that now. Kairos, with joy. Now, gladness, pleasure, delight, character of a child of God. Page 433 is where you look at that up, that word up. The Latin word for kairos, does anybody know the Latin word for this? For kairos? It's a beautiful lady's name. You know what the Latin word for this kairos is? Letitia. 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 With great pleasure. Pleasure and joy. Letitia ac volupta. With great joy and pleasure, they counted themselves worthy of the cross like Christ bore. Ye accepted, pros dexaste, ye accepted willfully and for yourself, second person plural, first aorist indicative. Look at that word, middle voice there, Brother Randall. Middle voice. You accepted this willfully for yourself. When you became a Christian, you accepted your lot in this world. Knowing, gnoskontes, nominative plural masculine, present participle acting, comes from the gnosko. Alright? And to have yourselves kratonta. Kratona. Look at that word, kratona. That's a comparative. It means superior, more profitable, more valuable, excellent, perfect increase, an increase of profit. Okay? It means to receive something with interest. It means a profitable increase. Now you've lost everything that you have in this world. Okay? And Paul says here, or not Paul, but the writer of Hebrews says here, that you're going to make money. You've lost everything you have in the world, but it is a profitable increase to you. A profitable increase. It's superior. It's a more valuable property. What are you getting? A more valuable possession. Hiparxit. That means belonging. Property. That word, by the way, hiparxin, is used two times in the New Testament. Acts 2:45 and here. Okay? No man in this world can rob you of your eternal possessions. Did you know that? No man in this world can rob you of your eternal possessions. Even if churches jerk you around and strangle you in and do you wrong, God overrules that. God even overrules that. No man can rob you of your eternal possessions. Matthew 6, 19 and 20. Let's go to Matthew 6, 19 and 20, and let's look at that for just a moment. Romans 13 and 1 and 15 and 7 are also cross-references to this. Daniel 3, 23, Exodus 18, 14, 1 Samuel 18, 11, and 19 and 10, and 17 and 51, I think. 1 Kings chapter 19, 2 Kings chapter 6, Psalm 144, verse 10, Judges 7, 21, and 15, 8 through 15, 2 Samuel 8, 1 through 6, and 10 and 15. Are you over there, Randall, into that verse?
Matthew 6,
19 and 20.
Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in or steal.
All right. That's what we, you know what, you have an eternal possession. Every time I turn my glasses loose, I say, go out and do something eternal. I really mean it. Go out and do something eternal. Go out and do something that'll follow you into heaven. Go out and do something that's going to follow you into heaven. Sometime this old world will send you to the gallows, to the gas chamber, to the fires, whatever. But they can't take your eternal possession away from you. Look at the word possession there. Hyparxin. Okay? That comes from hypo and arco. That means to under-exist. It means to under-exist. It means tangible property. That's what hyparxin means. All right? And then to have. That means to hold on to. All right? Present infinitive of echo. The remaining to have. 10:35. We're clipping along here. Look how fast we're going tonight. And we're discovering a lot of things. Hebrews 10:19 and 2 and 2 are cross-references to this. May. Apobalete. Un. Tain. Paresion. Himon. Hatis. Eke. Megalane. Mista. Podosios. A.T. Robertson said, the Jewish Christians in question were in peril of panic and of stampeding away from Christ. Stampeding away from Christ. Running. Because of persecution. Not ye stampede away. Don't stampede. Don't stampede. Have you, any of you ever been in a stampede? I remember one time my stepdad up there in Fish Lake Valley when I was working up there, he always gave me something to do dangerous. The most dangerous thing, he said, well, Jimmy, he said, now, you're young and you'll just bounce and you can fall off that horse and you won't get hurt. Nothing's going to happen to you. You're tough. You're going to just be all right. He said, now I want you to go out there and stand in the gate. And when those 19 wild Mustangs come by, I want you to cut that one big one out. Old Slewfoot. I want you to cut him out. Now, he said, don't worry about it. Wild horses won't run over you. Wild horses won't run over you. They won't step on you. Well, I stood in the gate, and he ran them around in a circle. And here come big old Slewfoot out there, and I let him out, and every one of them followed right after him on top of me. I was a recipient of a stampede. Well, he didn't get hurt. I had horseshoe prints all over me. Stampede. My great-grandfather, Sam Paul, was a violent man. But he loved animals. And one time they were driving a great big herd of longhorn cattle. My great-grandmother said that she would go to that house, and she said they had so much money from these cattle drives that they just had little trunks full of gold coins. And she said they had great big boxes of these brass knobs that you put on longhorn cattle's horns. They didn't dehorn them. They lost a lot of weight when you dehorn them. Sometimes they'd even die because their horns were big. Well, they take these brass knobs and put them on the end of the horns to keep them from goring each other and goring you. And they drive them. Well, longhorn cattle were hard to control, and whenever they went across, if you had 1,000 head of cattle, when they went across it, it looked like it. It killed everything in the pathway. My great-grandfather, he'd shoot a man at the drop of a hat. But he looked out there and he saw a little old cottontail rabbit with his leg broke, and he rode his horse out in front of that cattle herd and grabbed that little old rabbit up and took it out to safety and risked being trampled by that stampede. That's a true story. I know what it feels like to be trampled by 19 horses. Doesn't feel good. Still got some of them scars on me today. And don't stampede. Now, what it means here is apo and bale. Don't throw away. Don't throw away. Don't discard as rubbish or worthless. Second person plural, second aorist subjunctive active. Don't do that. May you not discard. May you not stampede. That's a subjunctive mode in this. Therefore, the confidence, the parasion. Do you remember what parasia means? Remember what that word means? Don't throw away, therefore, the parasia. Well, we use the word confidence, but what does it really mean? It means freedom from speech, or freedom of speech. It means freedom from fear. How many of you ever been afraid? Anybody been afraid? Dakota, you ever been afraid? When was the most time you were afraid? What were you afraid of? Yesterday, Dakota had a tremendous episode in her life that she will never forget. She was out watering the animals, and she felt something crawling up her leg on the inside of her pants. And she ran into the wash out there, grabbed a hold of this thing, whatever it was, pulled her pants down and looked in there, and there was a great big black wood spider in there. And she shucked those pants and took off running and ran in the house and put some things on her, soda, baking soda and water on her leg, everything. She said it felt like it pinched her. That was scary, wasn't it? Scary. Now, I'm going to tell you what, a cockroach's not going to hurt you much. A grasshopper won't do anything but scratch it with its old horny legs. A gopher snake won't do anything except strike you and scratch you with these little old teeth in his mouth. If you stick your finger down his mouth, you can get poisoned because they got poison too. But a black widow spider and a brown rescaloose, they will hurt you. Now that's something to be afraid of. I'm telling you. They have poison. Some people die from it. Well, that's something to be afraid of, isn't it? Now, some things terrify us. I remember out there years ago when a guy working for us named Ricky, he was out there cleaning out the garage, and a blackwood spider, a great big blackwood spider, went down his shirt and he grabbed his shirt just like Dakota did her pants yesterday and squeezed it and smashed that spider. He was terrified. He come running at me. He was terrified. There are things in this world that terrify you. We got a big old hog out there called Wilbur. Her name should be Wilburette. Terrifying events. Wilbur is a very gentle animal, but she's very big. She got to be about 1,100 pounds when she was... I've got her on a diet now. She's old and decrepit, and I have to keep her weight down so she won't break down. If she did, I'd have to put her down. Well, Wilbur likes her food. Have you ever heard somebody acting like a hog? Well, Ricky went out there, and he was cleaning out the pen one day, and he had just fed Wilbur her food, and he, instead of getting over the fence, he decided to go down there and reach underneath. Now, Wilbur, we had to change the lock on the gate because she knows how to unlock everything on that place, turn every faucet on, whatever. You have to guard for this thing. She's smart. Well, he got down right by Wilbur and reached underneath that thing to open the gate. And Wilbur, and his head was right down there by Wilbur's trough, and Wilbur was eating. Now, Wilbur gently reached over there and stuck her great big mouth. Her mouth is about this long. It opens real wide. And she put her mouth around his whole shoulder and chest and picked him up and tossed him gently and bounced him off the wall. He came up there and he was shaking all over. And he said, "Wilbur, Wilbur, Wilbur." I thought, I said, "Wilbur, Wilbur." I said, "What's wrong, Bill?" What's wrong, Ricky? Wilbur! Like this? Wilbur! Wilbur! He finally got out. Wilbur had reached down. He got down there by Wilbur's food, and Wilbur, he said, Wilbur didn't really mean to hurt me, but she put her whole mouth, my whole shoulder and chest was in her mouth, and she just squeezed me just a little bit and went and tossed me, and I bounced off the wall, terrified. Terrified. All right. Things that terrify us. Okay? Don't ye be stampeded by terror, therefore, but with confidence, freedom of speech, freedom from fear. Jesus said, don't fear anybody in this world. They can take your life. Fear the one that can take your eternal soul and cast you into hellfire forever. That's what to be terrified against. There's a lot of people that need some good sense, the right kind of fear, the correct kind of fear. Some people just go on blundering through life without any fear of God at all. We need to fear the right one. The confidence of ye witches, he has the great reward service rendered. All right? Don't stampede away and run off and leave your great reward. That word mathistodosion. Mathistodosion. It's used three times in the New Testament. It means wages given for services rendered. James 1 and 3. What does James 1 and 3 say? James 1 and 3. James 1 and 3. Dakota, you got James over there? Hand me that Bible. Would you bring that Bible to me, please? Please bring me that Bible over there. James 1 and 3. She didn't want to get on the camera. James, are you over at James 1 and 5, Randall?
1 and 3 or 1 and 5?
1 and 3, that's right.
New American good enough?
New American's good enough.
Knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance.
All right. The testing of your faith produces endurance. Endurance. Let's look at that. Here is the first word we have right here in this verse. Hypomones. That's the word endurance. That means remaining under the strain. That means stay in power. Endurance. Suffering with dignity and patiently. Hypomones. Gar. Hypomones, guys, girls. Hypomones. Gar. Ekete. Crayon. That sounds like crayon, doesn't it? Hina. Toe. Thalema. Tu. Theu. Poisontes. Comiseste. Tain. Epangelion. There are some great things in this verse here. Luke 21:19, Hebrews 12 and 1 and 9:15, and Mark 3:35. That's all part of this. Perseverance is that first word. Perseverance, remaining under the strain. To endure to the end. I have some really good examples in my life of people who were enduring to the end. One of them I think about is Dr. Martin Van Buren Canavan. I'll never forget that man. He was one of my teachers and a co-teacher with me, but mainly one of the greatest examples of physical endurance and dedication in my life that I've ever seen. I would watch Dr. Canavan teach the class as I was a student in his class. I would watch him teach the classes, and I could see him, his heart hurting him. He had heart attacks, a lot of heart attacks. His heart was just shot, and he was a young man still. And he would get out of the hospital, out of intensive care, and come right to the seminary and go right in his classes and sit down and teach. He had congestive heart failure. He'd sit there and he'd get choked up and cough a little bit and spit up stuff, and he'd teach some more. What an example of a man remaining under the strain. Dr. Carl Farrar. I have some good examples. Dr. Carl Farrar. When Dr. Carl Farrar was 5 years old, he got a disease that crippled him. He was the oldest living person with that disease in the world. Muscular dystrophy. He was about that tall. Walked on crutches or with double canes. When he was 5 years old, this disease struck him. What he couldn't do physically, he did mentally. He was a giant. That man studied more than anyone that I've ever known in my life. He studied all the time. He read thousands upon thousands of books. He was the most read person that I ever met in my life, and he taught till the end of his life, crippling over there, dragging himself to the classes, teaching in the seminary. Brother and Dr. Travis, Harold Travis Hubbard, my language teacher and my close friend. He taught in seminary for 60-some-odd years. 68 years he taught Greek and Hebrew and pneumatology and English. I saw him in the later part of my life, and as he was still trying, he was driving from Lancaster, California to Bellflower, California for years, teaching in that seminary down there. Then he started driving from Lancaster to Fresno, and he'd drive every Sunday night and come home on Wednesday. He'd come home on Wednesday. He got so old and with dementia and senile. They said that, well, he had wrecks all the way from Lancaster all the way to Fresno. He run through barbed wire fences. He ended up in ditches. Everything that you can think of. He shouldn't have been driving on the road at all, but he kept on doing it. Kept on hypomoneing. They had to lead him. He didn't know where his classrooms were in the seminary. Well, after they got him into the classroom, they changed him one classroom to the other. He could sit down and open up his Hebrew or his Greek, and he could teach his classes, but he didn't know how to get there. Finally, his daughter came from Oklahoma and picked him up and took him back there. What examples of endurance they were. Enduring, suffering patiently. Age does something to you. I watched my mother trying to get into the classroom. It's a little rough, isn't it? Hypomones. Enduring. Hypomones garakete. Endurance. For endurance ye have need of. We all have need of endurance, don't we? We have need of endurance. Things don't always go well, but they go. In order to that, the thelema. Remember here a while back I gave you about six different words for the mind of God, didn't I? Were you any of you here when I did that? Six different words for the mind of God. And one of them was the thelema. Thelema. Thelema means the spiritual activating force. Now let's just translate it like it was mind or will. Need in order to that the mind of God. Look at that. The mind of God. You know what the mind of God is? The mind of God for your life is not to get everything you can get in this world while you're here. The mind of God for you is that you can endure in the Christian race and be example to others. To walk up and down. To march in front of humanity and that they can see something different in your life than that which is in the rest of the world. That spiritual activating force, the mind of God, having done, having made, nomine plural masculine, first aorist participle active, that word comes from poio. Our word poem comes from that. We make words rhyme, don't we? We make words rhyme that ye may obtain for yourself the promise. Can you read that from the Amplified Bible, Brother Randall?
10:36. For you have need of steadfast patience and endurance, so that you may perform and fully accomplish the will of God.
Just put down there the mind of God.
The mind of God. And thus receive and carry away and enjoy to the full what is promised.
That's right. Enjoy the full to the full what is promised. You may attain and enjoy to the full what is promised. Unless you're doing the will of God, a child of God doesn't even know he's saved. She doesn't even know she's saved. You don't know if you're not doing the will of God. If you are a child of God, now if you are a child of God not doing the will of God and God isn't breaking your neck, then something's wrong. Probably you are a false alarm. 10 verse 37. What's that first word there? Eti. What's that second one? And then the next one. These are easy words now. That's why I'm getting you to read them. Mikron. And then hoson. And then we have hoson. And the next one. Ho. Ekomenos. Hexe. U. Kronese. All right. Let's look at this now. We're almost finished with this chapter. The new chapter, actually, this chapter should end right here. This is probably the end of this subject. And we have a new subject from 10:38 on. Okay? This is the end of this subject right here. Eti means yet. It's a little adverb, page 171, if you look that up. Gar, casual particle or conjunction, page 75, and analytical lexicon, page 1190, in A.T. Robertson's grammar. And then micro. What do we have? We have micro technology now, don't we? Micro circuits, micro this, micro that. What is micro?
Small,
miniature. What is macro?
Big.
Okay. Micron, okay, for the little very. For the little very. The one coming, he shall come and not he shall delay. All right, let's look at this. And the Amplified Bible, Brother Randall. The Amplified Bible.
The Amplified Bible.
Yep. Let's look at this.
For still a little while, a very little while, and the coming one will come, and he will not delay.
All right. And yet, that little adverb there, and a little, very, very little while, the one coming, that one nominative singular masculine, present participle, middle voice, he's going to do it for himself. He's going to go, the Lord is going to come on his own time, not Harold Campings, not some other whatever. Charles Sage Russell missed how many times? How many times did the Seventh-day Adventurists miss? How about the Mormons? How many times have they missed the calling of the second coming? And the one coming, he shall come. So that's third person singular, future indicative active. That comes from Hecho, by the way. And not, little old adverb of negation there, he shall delay. Chronize. We get our word chronograph from that. It comes from chronizo. That's third person singular, future indicative active. Chronizo. Chronograph, chronology, all of those things. 10:38. I sure would like to finish this chapter tonight. Now, actually, it's finished. Ho,
day,
dikaios,
mu,
ek, pistios,
zeiseste,
kai, yon, he, pa, stay late. Uk. Uk. Yudoke.
Yudoke.
Hey.
Suke.
Psyche is what I should have said. Psyche. My old German teacher got me right there. Mu en auto. All right. Habakkuk 2:4. Romans 1:17. Galatians 3:11. Go back to Habakkuk 2 and 4 real quick. Habakkuk 2 and 4. New American Standard is wonderful. As long as somebody don't throw that Episcopalian Bible at me. Even the Episcopalian Bible's all right there. It's pretty good.
Habakkuk?
I like it. Yeah.
2 and 4.
Yes.
Behold, as for the proud one, his soul is not right within him, but the righteous will live by his faith.
All right. The just shall live by faith. That's what King James says. I like that. That's all right. The just, the righteous one shall live by faith. And that says here, but the one just, the righteous one of me, of mine, out of faith he shall live. That's the difference between a saved man and a lost man. A righteous man lives out of faith, not out of what is in this world. Everything in the world can fall down around your ears, but you know whose hand you're in? If you're a child of God, you know whose hand you're in? We struggle so much fiddling around with the world. Struggle with the world. We're supposed to be struggling for the Lord. And we're struggling with the world. The righteous one, the just, shall live by faith. And if he may withdraw for himself not, he is well pleased the soul of me in him. All right? Can you read that in that new or in the Amplified Bible, Brother Randall? 10:38.
But the just shall live by faith. My righteous servant shall live by his conviction, respecting man's relationship to God and divine things, and holy fervor born of faith and conjoined
with it.
And if he draws back and shrinks in fear, my soul has no delight or pleasure in him.
All right. Verse number 39. And we're going to finish this chapter right here. We're going to finish it, and then we're going to get into the 11th chapter next week, the Lord willing, and I don't crow. He may.
De
uk esmen. Hypostoles. Eis. Apoleon. Allah. Pistios. Eis. Peri. Poesen. Sikes. Alright. Alright. Romans 1:17, Galatians 3:11, these are all cross references this. But we are of withdrawal, shrinking back and shrinking under, literally, unto destruction, but faith unto the possession of the soul. All right. Let's read that in Amplified Bible again. Amplified Bible. I'll get my mother to do that. I'm going to have you read that in the Amplified Bible. This car that's right out. We've got to get you on tape here reading something. All right. It is right there. That's the one. That one right there. Just holler that out. She read to me when I was a little old kid.
39?
Yeah, 39.
But our way is not that of those who draw back to eternal misery and are utterly destroyed, but that we are of those who believe, who cleave to and trust in and rely on God through Jesus Christ, the Messiah, and by faith preserve the soul.
All right, that's it. The Messiah. They're trusting in the Messiah. They're not going back into the old traditions, into the old ordinances of the law, to the old sacrifices that represented Jesus Christ. They were a shadow of Him, but now we see the real image. And we are not those that go back into that religious system. 11:1 is where we're going to start next week. The Hall of Fame. The Hall of Fame. You talk about Hall of Fame. This is a Hall of Fame that I'd like to be in right here. Is this the 15th day of the month?
Yes.
All right. 7:15:09. Boy, 7:15:09. Well, thank you for your attention. We had a long class today, but we covered a lot of verses. A lot of verses. And they were dynamite packed. I could have preached a half hour on every one of them, but I didn't. We touched them. We learned some good words out of them. Psyche, the soul. What is the word in Hebrew? Nefesh, the nefesh. Nefesh lo nefesh, soul for soul, it said in the Old Testament. A soul had to die for a soul. Well, in the New Testament, it's only one soul. Jesus Christ, life for us. No animals anymore. Animals don't die for you. When I first started reading the Old Testament, when I wanted to be saved, I started reading the Old Testament. Man, I tell you, I started thinking about killing my dog. Something had to be sacrificed for me, and I sure didn't want to kill old Yukon. I liked that dog. I didn't want to kill my chicken, my ducks, or anything else I had. And then I got to the New Testament, I find out I didn't have to, because of true sacrifice, all those things that represented his death, that all it did was represent him. Well, go out and do something eternal and carry it into eternity too. Carry it into eternity. Thank you for your endurance of those hard seats, hypomone, the remaining under the strain, and for the classes. It's good to have you here tonight. Let's have a word of prayer and turn you loose on the world. Okay? Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word tonight. Watch over all of those everywhere that listen to our classes. Forgive me where I failed you. Help me to be the example that I need to be to your people. Protect me in this world. And help me to continue teaching your word if this is your will. Watch over those in our class that are sick, that aren't able to be here. I pray for those that are cold and indifferent at this time too. I pray that you convict their souls of sin, righteousness, and judgment to come. And convict us of the same things. Watch over the people that listen to our classes from all over the world, those in Mississippi and in Japan and Australia, Nevada and Idaho, China, and Texas. All of the things that I see on the website, I pray that these words touch their lives. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.